Blog Talk Radio.
Lord of eternity, mystery behind the veil. Lord over heaven and earth, God of Israel. Come with your wisdom and power, clothed in your honor and strength. Lord, hear the cry of our hearts, come, O conquering King. And every eye will see your glory fill the sky. Adonai, Adonai, every knee will bow to you, Lord Most High. Adonai, Adonai, you alone are God, every tongue will cry. Lifted on high, hear the beautiful things, long to see you arrive. And all of Zion sing, Baruch Haba Hashem. Adonai, Adonai, every knee will bow to you.
Adonai, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. You're worthy to be praised. You're worthy to be given all the glory and honor. Hallelujah, Adonai. That was Paul Wilbert. He's singing that beautiful song to Adonai. And we chose it because it was appropriate for the mystery for today. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. This is Pastor Carlos A. Ramos Jr. of your host, The Way, The Truth, and the Life Tabernacle, here on Blog Talk Radio. You could call us at 516-418-5944. Press number 1 if you would like to be connected to the studio. You could give your testimony. You could give a question or a comment. Glory be to. But most importantly, I would like for you to call and give me the answer. Hallelujah. Today's, we're going to give you a little disclaimer and a little bit of itinerary of the church, and then we're going to go into our lesson. Glory be to the Lord. So the disclaimer is that the songs that we play on Blog Talk Radio do not belong to Pastor Carlos A. Ramos Jr. They do not belong to The Way, The Truth, and the Life Tabernacle. They do not belong to Blog Talk Radio. They belong to the individual artists who sing it or produce it. Glory be to the Lord. And because we bought the original CDs, DVDs, or albums in it, we have permission to use the songs. So this song, Adonai, is appropriate for the lesson for today. Hallelujah. Itinerary. Every Sunday at 7 p.m., we have what we call the Bible Mystery. We are tackling the names and titles of God. This week, we're dealing with Adonai. The mystery, the questions is, what does Adonai mean? What does it mean? That's the one I would like you to call me with the answer. Glory be. And don't forget, you can call Blog Talk Radio at 516-418-5944. And if you'd like to be connected to the studio, you press number 1. Glory be to the Lord. Number 2 is, where in the Bible do we find Adonai? It. Glory. Where in the Bible do we find it? Because we are a believing, Bible-based, non-denominational Christian church, and everything that we follow is biblical. We're not going to invent anything. We don't go by traditions. We go by the Bible, what the Bible says. Glory be to the Lord. And we believe the Word of God is inerrant. What we have in our hand is a carbon copy of the original one in heaven. Glory be to God. And God is not schizophrenic. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. He has no respect of persons. He's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. Glory be to the Lord. The third question is, why was God called Adonai? Very interesting. Very interesting. Once again, you could call us at Blog Talk Radio, 516-418-5944, and you could press number 1 to be connected to the studio. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. We would encourage you to invite your family, friends, and neighbors to join us here. And so a little bit of itinerary. Every Sunday at 7 p.m., we have the Bible Mystery. Every Tuesday at 7 p.m., we have the intercessory prayer, where we pray for many different subjects. And Thursday, we have Bible study. We have our study. And the main underlying subject is, what's next? What is next? And we've been looking at the difference between what's happening in the second coming of Christ. He came on as a child, as a baby, born in a manger, born in the stables. Glory be to the Lord. But his second coming is divided into two phases. Phase number 1 is the rapture, the gathering of the saints, the catching up. Glory be, the great assembly. And we follow 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, 13 to 18 as one of the verses that we have for that one. And then the second phase of the second coming is the return. He's going to return after the tribulation, and he's going to come with his army, and those are the holy ones. That's us, brothers and sisters, after we rapture. Jude talks about that he saw him coming with 10,000 of his saints. That's us, brothers and sisters. Hallelujah. Also, he's coming with the angels of heaven, glory. And we're ready for war, but we're not going to have to lift up our swords at all. With the breath of his mouth, he's going to destroy every evil spirit that's out there. Glory be to the Lord. He's going to have an angel capture Satan, cast them into the abyss there, throw the Antichrist and the false prophets and those that are taking the mark of the beast into the lake of fire. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. And he's going to defeat the enemies of Israel. Glory. The nations that are gathered in Armageddon, they're going to come to Jerusalem to fight, but you know, they're gonna destroy 2/3 of Israel, and 1/3 is gonna survive. They're gonna run to the mountains to be hid. It's there Jesus going to rescue them, and they're gonna recognize Christ as the true Yeshua HaMashiach. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you. That's on Thursday, and we're taking on the second coming of Jesus Christ. You know, some people want to title it prophecy. We title it the Word of God. And we know that God's Word, 33% of it is prophecy. So we have to be very careful with the Word of God. Many things Jesus fulfilled at his first coming, and many things he will fulfill at his second coming. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory be to the Lord. So today's Sunday, and we do our Bible mysteries. What does Adonai mean? What does Adonai mean? You could call us here at 516-418-5944. Press number one to be connected to the studio. And if you get the right answer, the church will mail you out a beautiful accordion-style pamphlet of the tabernacle. Glory be to the Lord. It talks about the furnishings, the clothing of the high priest, symbolisms that point to Jesus. And you have to understand that the tabernacle was also known as the tabernacle congregation. It was also known as the tent of meetings. God will speak to Moses and the people from the mercy seat. Glory be to the Lord. And when the cloud by day began to move, they would take the tent down and they would follow the cloud. Wherever the cloud would stop, they would rebuild the tent and continue the services. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. Eventually, we know that David had a desire to build a temple for God, but his hands was full of blood. So God told David that his son, Solomon, will build the temple. And that's exactly what Solomon did. He built a temple, beautiful temple, but Achilles, number four, he desecrated the temple there. He brought a pig, he roasted there. He had some Jewish people eat it, desecrated the temple. So the temple could not be used for a very long time. They were from the Grecian nation. But the Maccabees revolted, and they came to fight against and defeated the Grecians. And in 165 AD, December 25th, the Romans, who were now in control, allowed the Hebrew Jewish to go back and rebuild the temple, cleanse it. And they went in, and when they found oil for one day, but it lasted for 8 days. So there we have the celebration of lights, Hanukkah. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. Many people, you know, they celebrate December 25th as the birth of Jesus. If you study the Bible and you study history and everything that's going on, you would know that that's not the date that he was born. We have an idea, but we're not going to, that's another program. We're not going to reveal it now. Glory be to the Lord. But in that area, at that time, December 25th, it's when the Maccabees revolted against the Grecians, and the Romans allowed them to go back and cleanse the temple. And the temple was there. And what happened was the temple was fixed and rebuilt. And, you know, they called it the Second Temple series. That's the time that Jesus went into the temple. He preached there, spoke to the disciples. One night before his betrayal, or before his crucifixion, the disciples were showing Jesus the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said, there isn't going to be one stone unturned that's going to happen. And that's what happened, my brothers and sisters. After Jesus was crucified, buried, and resurrected, about 40 years later, we have the Jewish people rebelled against the Roman government. And the Romans came in. General Titus came in with his army and destroyed Jerusalem, destroyed the temple, burned it down. A lot of the Jews died inside the temple, a lot of the mothers ate their own children because they were hungry. You don't hear that on the news. You don't hear that from people. But if you study history and you study Josephus, who was a first century historian from the Jewish people, he was a non-Christian. He spoke about Jesus, but he did not receive him as the Messiah. And so they destroyed the second temple. And up to this day, there is no temple in Jerusalem. So we, you know, I lived in Williamsburg, Brooklyn, and a lot of the Jewish Hasidic Jews were doing their sacrifices in the kitchen. They would sacrifice their chickens, and God is not accepting that, my brothers and sisters. I have to tell you the truth in love, because the Bible says only in Jerusalem will God accept the sacrifice, only in Jerusalem. And so we know that that's true. Also, presently, they are trying to see if they could rebuild the third temple. They have the instruments of the temple. They have the clothing for the priests, the training for the priests, and they're waiting for the Messiah to inaugurate this temple. And we know that it's not going to be Jesus Christ. The Antichrist will come and make a covenant pact with Israel. They will rebuild the temple. They will begin their sacrifices through of that covenant. 3.5 years into the covenant, he will break it. He will stop the sacrifice. He will stop the service in the temple, and he will bring an image of himself for people to worship the image or take the mark of the beast in order for them to buy or sell. But that's a prophecy from the future, that we know what's next. Well, what's next is the rapture of the church. The rapture of the church. If you listen very closely to what Jesus spoke about when he spoke about the 10 virgins, you're going to realize what you have to do. You have to be awake. You have to be ready. Jesus said, watch and pray. Look up when you see the convergence of these things, for your redemption draws nigh. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. So the message for today is Adonai. What does Adonai mean? Where in the Bible could we find Adonai? And why was God called Adonai? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. So we're not going to give you the meaning of what Adonai means. That's for you to call in. But I'm going to tell you where in the Bible do we find Adonai. Well, the first occasion, you have to go back to Genesis chapter 15, verses 2. But we're going to read from verse 1. The word of God says, after these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, fear not, Abram, I am thy shield, and thy exceedingly great reward. That's what God told Abraham. And Abraham said, Lord God. Now, in the English translation, is Lord God. But when you go back to the original Hebrew, he said, and Abraham said, Adonai. So Lord God, Adonai, will thou give me, seeing I go childless, and the steward of my house is Eliezer of Damascus. Well, that's what happens to Abram. He wasn't Abraham yet. God promised that he would give him a seed, and he told Abram to count the stars of the heaven and the sands of the land. The sands of the land represent the Jewish nation, so they're natural. The stars in the heavens represent the Christians, the born-again Christians, spiritual. Our name is spiritual Israel. Replacement theology is a lie from the pit of hell. The Jewish people are still God's people, God's apple of the eye. Glory be to the Lord. I'm just saying that God, that Adonai was telling Abram that his children would be multiple. He changed his name from Abram to Abraham, father of many nations. And that included the Gentiles. You know, a lot of people think, oh, no, this is only for Jewish. No. You have to understand, Abram, before he called and he came to Hebron, he was a Gentile. Abram was a Gentile with his wife Sarah. There was no Jewish people in those times. When Abram came to the promised land and his descendants came about, you know, Perez and Eber, it's when they started calling themselves Jewish after the covenant. And that was the covenant of Abraham and God was circumcision. Only the Jewish men had circumcision. Other men of the world, the Gentiles, they didn't have no circumcision. They didn't have no covenant with God. Only Abram had a covenant with God. And God extended that covenant to Isaac. And he also extended that covenant to Jacob and the 12 patriarchs. Why? Because God keeps promises. And God keeps his covenants with whom he makes the covenants with. He doesn't break them. He espoused Israel as his wife. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Where else do we find Adonai? Well, you have to go all the way to the New Testament. And I'm going to read the whole chapter, but this is where we find it. In Philippians chapter 2 and verse 11, it says, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus is Lord. That word Lord is Adonai. To the glory of God, the Father. Only God could be Adonai. Only God could be the Lord. And you will get the answer when I give you the answers like that. I want you to think about it. So let's read chapter 2 before we go on to the second part of that. Why was God called Adonai? Let's read chapter 2 of Philippians. If there be therefore any conciliation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore, God also had highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven and of things on earth, and the things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, Adonai, to the glory of God the Father. Wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Do all things without murmuring and disputing, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labor in vain. Yes, and if I offered upon the sacrifice and service of my faith, I joy and rejoice with you all. For the same cause also do you joy and rejoice with me. But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy shortly unto you, that I also may be of good comfort when I know your state. For I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for you, your state. For all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ. But you know the proof of him, that as a son without the father, he has served me in the gospel. Him therefore I hope to send presently, so soon, so I shall see how it will go with me. But I trust in the Lord that I also myself shall come shortly. Yet I suppose to necessary to send you Epaphroditus, my brother and companion in labor, and my fellow soldier, but your messenger and he that ministered to my wants. For he longed after you all, and was full of heaviness, because that ye had heard that he had been sick. For indeed he was sick right unto death, but God had mercy on him, and not on him only, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. I sent him therefore the more carefully, that whom you see him again, you may rejoice, and that I may be less sorrowful. Receive him therefore in the Lord with all gladness, and hold such in reputation. Because for the work of Christ he was nigh unto death, but to supply you lack of service toward me. Glory be to the Lord. So let me read that verse 11 again. And that every tongue shall confess that Jesus is Adonai, to the glory of the Father. And we understand, you know, only God could be Adonai, the Lord, the Master. And that's who Jesus Christ is. The mystery of the Trinity and the oneness of God, it's a mystery. You know, some people argue back and forward between oneness and between Trinity. But you have to understand that, you know, God allows that to confuse the enemy, to confuse those that don't believe in the truth. Glory be Jesus. Hallelujah. Number three, why was God called Adonai? Well, one of the answers is because he was considered to be above all the gods. Many people had different gods or whatever they offered up sacrifices to them. They were idolaters, but only God was Adonai, the only Lord above all the earth. The only Lord above the earth. You know, no matter what the enemy tries on this earth, what the devil tries to do, it's not going to change God's plan. God's patience and desire is for all to come to repentance and to accept Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior, so they could be saved, so they could go to heaven and not hell. Because I'll tell you, brothers and sisters, once you cross that barrier, remember, God doesn't send anybody to hell. All he does is accommodate their wishes. And once you cross that barrier, when you leave this body, absent from this body, for those of us who are born again, is present with the Lord. But those that are not born again, absent from this body, is present in hell. And you stay there until the great white throne judgment. And then you're going to be judged for everything you said, everything you have done. There will be a second death. One is spiritual, one is natural. But that won't touch us because we'll be in heaven. We have eternal life in Christ Jesus. So that's why we urge you, brother, knowing God's power and knowing God's wrath and knowing God's love and forgiveness, we urge you, brothers and sisters, that you repent of your sins, come unto the Lord Jesus Christ, receive him as your Lord and Savior, and you shall be safe. Oh, well, I'm not as bad as the other guy who committed murder and all that. Listen, with God, sin is sin. If you've stolen something that doesn't belong to you and it was a minor candy, it doesn't matter the value of the item that you stole. What matters is that you stole. That's sin. And the Bible says in Isaiah 59:1-2, sin, separates us from God. But, you know, God says in Isaiah, come, let us reason together. Your sins be as scarlet, they'll be white as snow. God will cleanse you because Jesus Christ, who was righteous, and if you read 1 Corinthians 5:21, Jesus Christ, who was righteous, he exchanged his position with our position. He became sin that we may become righteousness in him. That's why Moses, he built a cross and he put a bronze serpent on it. And the people that were being bitten by the adders, when they look at the bronze serpent, they were safe. Well, what does that indicate? Well, it indicates that when Jesus Christ was on the cross, he became sin for us. He became like that snake, full of sin. He took the sins of the world upon him. And even that bad, God the Father could not look upon him. And that's why we read in the Bible, it says that that day there was a great earthquake. It got very dark. And some people say it's like God turning his back on his son. But God could not look upon sin. Jesus Christ became sin for us. So he was that bronze serpent. And when he shed his last blood, he had told God, he had asked God, he said, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they do. And the Bible goes on to say, had the princes of this world had known that by crucifying Jesus Christ, that he would become victorious, they would not have crucified him. But it's too late. It is too late. He paid the atonement for that sin. Hallelujah. And so today we're dealing with Adonai. What does Adonai mean? You could call us at 516-418-5944. Press number one if you have the answer. I will see your hand raised on the teleprompter I have, and I will connect with you so you could give me the answer. What does Adonai mean? That's what I'm looking for. The second question is, where in the Bible do we find the word Adonai? We looked at Genesis chapter 15, verse 2, where Abraham says to God, Lord God. And that word Lord God means is Adonai, and only God could be Adonai. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 11, where it talks about that God has given a name to Jesus above every other name, that every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. That word Lord is Adonai. So that lets you know that Christ is our God. He is the only one true God. The third question is, why was God called Adonai? Well, God was called Adonai because when you look up the scriptures and when you look around at the history and you look up the synthesis of the word and everything that's going on with it, people considered God the Father above all. At that time, the nations, the Gentiles, the people were worshiping idols. They were worshiping other gods, but only the one true God who is spiritual is Adonai, the only Lord over all the earth. He makes plans, he makes covenants, he makes agreements, and he keeps them all. He doesn't break the covenant. He doesn't break the plans that he has for us. The Bible says in Romans, you know, all things work together for good for them that are called and predestined according to his purpose. And what we want to do is worship him and honor him and glorify him for all he has done. So what does Adonai mean? If this is your first time, you'll get a beautiful accordion style. It talks about the genes. It talks about instruments. It talks about symbolisms that point to Jesus. It talks about the garments of the high priest. The tabernacle was also known as the tabernacle of the congregation. It was also known as the tent of meetings. God would speak to Moses and Israel from the mercy seat. Glory be to the Lord. And when the cloud by day moved on, Remember, Israel was in the wilderness after they came out of Egypt, and God will protect them. He put a cloud by day in front of them and a cloud of fire by night to protect them. Glory be to the Lord. So that's an honor unto God Almighty. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. So when the cloud moved, Israel would take the tent down and follow the cloud. Wherever the cloud stopped, and they will rebuild that tent, and they will continue their services. So you'll get a beautiful, colorful pamphlet, accordion-style pamphlet, if that's your first time calling. But if you go on and you call for the second or third time, then you get a beautiful breakdown of the Our Father prayer with the colors of the Messiah and verses, and you would understand Our Father much better than what we had before. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. So you'll get a breakdown of that prayer, that we call it the Lord's Prayer, but in reality is our prayer, because Jesus was teaching his disciples. They asked him, teach us how to pray. So he said, when you pray, and there's another key verse that I want that goes along with this, and that's in Mark 11:24. Jesus told the disciples, when you pray, believe that you have it and you shall receive it. That's a prayer of faith. So let's say you have pain in your shoulder and you asking God for deliverance, healing in that shoulder, and you're binding. Remember, he gave the keys to Peter. He said, whatever you bind on earth shall be bind in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth shall be loose in heaven. So if you bind the spirit of infirmity upon your body, and you cast him out and tell him to depart, that you have given him a bill of divorcement, separation, he no longer can attack you because you are a child of the living king. Guess what? At God's will, he will heal you. He will heal you immediately, or he will heal you in a couple of days. It is his will to be done. And all we're doing is speaking the word of faith. In Proverbs, it says that we have the power in our tongue to pray life or to pray death. So that's why it's very important that when you pray, you want to bind up the enemy, but you want to loose the blessings that God has on your life. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. I always, you know, there's a promise in Proverbs. God says that he gives us sweet dreams. So I always pray, Father, thank you in the name of Jesus for the sweet dreams that I have tonight. Guess what? I don't have to take melatonin. I don't have to take no nighttime sleeping pills for insomnia, nothing like that, because God gives me sweet dreams. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. You know, God loves his children. And you're a born-again Christian. You're a child, the living king. You live by faith. You're from the seed of Abraham. Glory be. And God will keep his covenant that he gave Abraham. He says, I will bless them who bless you and curse them who curse you. So when I pray at nighttime when I go to bed, besides thanking God for the sweet dreams, I always thank God. I say, Lord, Father, in the name of Jesus, I bind every witch and warlock that's trying to come into this house to bring disturbance to my life. I bind every demonic, satanic, and evil spirit that's in this house. And Father God, I agree with your word that you send forth your angels to protect us from every harm and danger. Oh, thank you, Lord. So, you know, we have in the word of God, you know, many blessings from God and many things that we should do. As a matter of fact, I would encourage you when you read your Bible that you pray the word of God, because Jesus said it in Matthew 3:35. I believe he said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will remain forever. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So Jesus said the word is alive. The word is a spirit. And you know, the word is there for us. We are ambassadors of the kingdom of heaven. We are joint heirs with Jesus Christ. If you look back at Genesis and you look at before Cain killed Abel, God told Cain, sin is at your door. Sin is at your door. Crunching down, sin is at your door. Imagine that. You know, sin is a spirit. It's something that people would do, and it causes them to be separated from God. If you look at Isaiah 59, 1 and 2, it says sin has separated you and I. So that's why we love God with all our heart, mind, soul, and spirit. We love our neighbor as ourselves. We're not under the law. We're under the grace of God. But we have to make sure we don't break the moral law, the Ten Commandments, because that's still in effect. The other commandments are not in effect to the born-again Christians. Maybe some of the Jewish people will continue with it. There's about 613 different laws that the Jewish people have. You know, they're very, very carefully try to keep them. But, you know, the Bible says that you broke one commandment, you broke them all. So it's very important that we follow the directions of the Holy Spirit. He was sent by Christ to us to lead us and guide us into all truth, to remind us what Jesus Christ said and did, and to strengthen us so we would do likewise. We could be children of God, knowing the difference between what's good and what's evil, and being truthful and speaking the truth. Because remember, when you speak a lie, whether it's a white lie or whatever, remember, he told Satan, you're the liar and you're the father of lies. So if you lie, you know, that is something you want to repent and ask God to deliver you from, because you don't want to be a daughter or a son of the devil. You want to be a daughter or son of God Almighty. So what does Adonai mean? What does Adonai mean? All these verses and all these stories that I share with you gives you a description of what Adonai means. And that will give you an understanding and a better understanding when you read the scriptures. I would encourage you to get the Hebrew Bible also, because in there you see words that are written in the Hebrew language. Remember, the Old Testament was mostly written in Hebrew. Some words are in Aramaic, and the New Testament was mostly written in Greek. So when you get the original languages, the original texts, and you read them and you study them, you would understand the scriptures better. And always pray before you open the Bible, because it is God's word. It is something he has given to us. Like when you get married, you go with your fiance to City Hall and you both sign a license to marry. And when you go to church to get married, you both sign, and the preacher or whoever marries you also sign that ledger. And guess what? Your Bible is that license. God has given us the Bible as our license because we are married to him. We are the chaste virgin of Christ. You know, the husband in the Old Testament gives the wife to be a price. You know, there's a price to pay. And guess what? For us, right? He shed his blood for our sins. And what did he give us? He gave us the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is like our engagement ring. And if you go back to the Old Testament and read Eliezer that was sent, he took 9 camels of gifts to the wife to be of Jacob. Glory be to them. And Isaac, 9 camels of gifts. And so when Christ gives us the Holy Spirit, there are 9 gifts that we get also from the Holy Spirit. The first one is love. I always tell everybody, love is the essence of the Bible. God so loves us. And that's the way we should operate is to love everybody. And, you know, people have their own opinion. You know, we let them have their own opinion, but we go by the word of God. And eventually, you know, God will repay. God said, vengeance is mine, I will repay. So if a person is wrong and they have an attitude or something and they want to be wrong, let them be wrong as long as you'll continue to be right. You know, the Bible does say, don't let your goodness be spoken evil of. So, you know, you have to be careful, because when you read Corinthians, it tells us people read us every day. People are watching you every day, what you say, what you do, who you hang out with, you know, because they wanna be able to have something against you. But if you do the right thing, guess what? When they look at you, when they hear you, it's like the Bible says, it's heaping hot iron coals upon their head, because they don't have nothing to accuse you of. Even though they will accuse you, they will say things against you. But remember, if they said it against Christ, they're going to say it against you. The main thing is you keep sincere and obedient to God Almighty, and you keep sincere to the word of God. You keep sincere to prayer. You keep sincere in your worship and your praise of God every day. Remember, this is a personal relationship that you have with God. It's not religion, although James talks about the true religion, which is to heed the widows, to feed the widows, to feed the homeless, to take care of people who are in need. That's true religion. When you share with somebody, you know, it's true religion like that. Sometimes I come across people that are asking for money in the streets or in the corners, and the best thing to do is I go and buy them food that they're looking for, and I give the food to them. And, you know, because sometimes people act a certain way and they get what they want, and it's to indulge themselves in alcohol and drugs. And I don't want to be someone who be a person who accommodates their wishes. I don't want to give them anything like that. You know, so it's, you know, I give them what they want to eat, what they want to drink, and I tell them the Lord loves them. And if they continue to converse, I would share the gospel with them. Remember, the gospel is not forced upon nobody. Even a simple word of Jesus love you, sometimes is more than enough. People are depressed. People are hurting. People are in pain. People are homeless. People are walking around because their loved ones left them, and what to do. And maybe they heard about the Lord, but they never had that personal relationship with them. And it could be that God put you in that position at the right time at the right place so you could share with them a little bit of love. You know, you could share with them what God has given unto you. And then that person, they might not react right away in front of you, but they keep it in the heart and they think about it, and maybe down the line they'll reconcile with God, and then they see you and they tell you, do you remember me? And most of the time we don't remember them, but then they begin to tell us their story and their testimony. And God blesses them. God blesses you, because one, the Bible says, one person who is saved, the angels in heaven rejoice. One person is saved. So we go out to many people. We give them tracts. We speak to them. But we never know who is the one that's going to be converted to the Lord. Because the time of his rapture is coming soon. We see all the signs that are happening. Everything is converging. It's like a labor pains to a woman. They're getting closer and closer, harder and harder, more painful, until one day the baby is delivered. And that's the way it's happening now in this world. What's going on, what's happening in the world, the convergence of everything, it's labor pains. There's been labor pains since the time of Jesus. Imagine that. And the earth is about to give birth. The Bible says that, you know, earth and heaven is waiting for the identity of the sons of God. We're in the flesh, but nobody knows who we really are in the spirit. That's why we trust in the Lord, because the Bible says when we are raptured up to the clouds to meet Christ in the air, we will be transformed. We will be just like him and recognize who he is. And right now in this mortal body that we have, it's we don't know each other the way we should know. Like, we don't know Christ right now after the flesh. We know him after the spirit because we receive him by faith. We ask God for forgiveness. But one day we're going to see him face to face, and we're going to be just like him. And he's going to take us to his Father's house, because he said it and he promised, and he's not a man that should lie. He promised in the Gospel of John, chapter 14, he says that my Father's house are many mansions. I go to prepare a place. If it wasn't so, I would have told you. And if I go, I will return and receive you unto myself, that where I am, you may be also. Now, when you read that, that is really considered a Jewish idiom. It's, the whole thing talks about, I will marry you. And that's what Christ will marry us one day. He is the bridegroom, we are the bride. And we're waiting for that marriage feast, for the call of the bridegroom. Like when you read the story of the 10 virgins, at midnight there was a cry that the bridegroom was on his way. They all woke up. Five had oil in their lamps, and five needed oil. And they asked the five foolish virgins, asked the five wise virgins to give them oil. And they said, no, there won't be enough for us, but go and buy. And they went out to buy. Now, that's why they're foolish virgins, because who at midnight is selling oil? Now, the oil is a type of the Holy Spirit. So that's why we pray, Father, baptize me with your Holy Spirit. Lord, I want to be like you. I want, you know, my desire is to be filled with the Holy Spirit so I could be ready. So when Christ comes back and calls his bride, that I'll be going up with him, because he's looking for a church without a spot or without a wrinkle. And Lord, thank you for the dress that you put on me. Thank you that my dress has a spot, no wrinkle, and I'll be going, because the Bible says that when the five wise virgins went in to the bridegroom, they closed the door. Then the five foolish virgins couldn't get in. They knocked, 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 but it was too late. So don't let it be too late for y'all. You know that Jesus is coming. We don't know. We have an imminent expectation of his soon rapture, of the soon return for his church. We don't know when that, it could happen now, at any second. It could be at the end of the program. It could happen tonight, tomorrow. We don't know. We just got to be ready every day. And you might say, but Pastor Ramos, this has been already 2,000 years. Yes, that's exactly what the prophecy said. When you look at the New Testament, the letters that Paul wrote, he says some scoffers will come at the end and say, where is the promise of his return? Because since our forefathers were, everything remains the same. So yes, there's a lot of scoffers out there that they scoff at you because you're holding on to a promise that's been over 2,000 years in waiting to be completed. And the Lord, and it's not that Christ doesn't want to come back, because he longed to come and get his bride. But God the Father, when you see the movie The Day Before the Wrath, and I encourage you to see that movie, the Father does not allow the Son to go get his bride because the room that he's getting prepared is not ready. And what that does in a spiritual sense, our Father, he's not allowing Christ to come and get his bride because he wants people, his long suffering is mercy and love. He wants people to repent and to be saved before he comes, because once he comes, that's it. The door will be closed. And the Bible says, you know, whom the door closes, God closed the door, no man could open it. And if a door is open, no man could close it. So that's why when you read Revelation chapter 4, verse 1, God tells John, come up hither. and John is the type of the church. Come up hither, meaning that that's the rapture that's taking place. And so what does Adonai mean? What does Adonai mean? I know someone out there has the answer, and they might be afraid to call. You could call 516-418-5944. We got about 4 minutes to go, and you'll be surprised when you call and we speak on the air. It's, you know, I'm not going to keep you a long time. I just want you to give the answer, and if you like, you could share a little of your testimony or a little bit of your story. You know, and that's the mailer will go out tomorrow, you know, even though tomorrow is a holiday, so it will go out on Tuesday. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. So don't be too shy. I don't want you to have false humility. Remember, God had not given us a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. So don't have a false humility. Be humble, but don't have a false humility, you know. Don't everything be pity. Nope. God wants you to be strong, like Joshua when he fought the lion, and David when he fought the lion and the bear. Glory be to the Lord. He wants you to be strong, and you could be strong. Now, if you read Ephesians chapter 6 and beginning at verse 10, and I'm going to turn there and read it for you, because I want you to understand that we have a battle that we're going through right now against the enemy. The enemy's come against us. And, you know, this is what the Bible says. And I want you to think about it, because every day that you are walking in this life, the enemy comes against you. He wants to destroy your faith. He wants to destroy everything you have. So we've got about 2 minutes to go, and I'm going to read this couple of verses. It says, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplications in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And that's what we should be doing every day, my brothers and sisters. We've got about a minute left to go, and I want you to be encouraged to study the word. And, you know, you are a minister of God. And wherever you are, study yourself approved unto God, a workman needing not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. God could use anyone at any time. So always be ready. So we'll be back on Tuesday for intercessory prayer at 7 p.m. Hope join us. Invite your family, friends, and neighbors to come to intercessory prayer. We have several subjects that we pray for, and we will share so you could pray as well as I do. This is not a one-man show. This is all of us together as one. Remember, the Way, the Truth, and Tabernacle is a non-denominational church. We love everyone. And until then, may the Lord reach you. Amen. Praise God, praise God. Next Sunday, we're going to be looking at Yahweh.